counselling as such or partner services, I mean, the providers themselves also were resistant to partner services. I think they felt it would take too much time. They couldn't really judge what the relationship would be like, particularly if, you know, if they see somebody one time and 6 months later she comes with a different partner. You know, it's difficult for them, they felt, to understand what the relationship is about when they're really trying to treat the female as the primary person. Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Just as a comment, my own experience is not at all with U.S. programs for men or couples. Mine is all international. And, for example, when I worked for International Planned Parenthood Federation, Western Hemisphere region, the Ecuador affiliate of IPPF did a whole program about couple communication. And when couples came into a clinic, the question was, does the woman want the man in the session with her? Not just automatically the man should be in, but if he's abusive or something, it's not a good idea to have her there. So everybody from the receptionist to the doctors were all trained in screening men, women first and then men, to see whether it was appropriate to have them together. So someday it'd be interesting to have a comparative U.S. and international discussion. Okay, our next presentation is called Teen Quizzes, a Springboard for Partner Communication About Sex and Sexual Health. The presenter is Kimberly Amack Yee, who's an international consultant in reproductive health, training, and educational materials development. She provides specialized training and technical assistance in areas including family planning, fertility awareness methods, breastfeeding, client education and counseling, technical writing, and program development. And she's authored a variety of books. So we'll invite Kimberly to the presentation.
Thank you, Judith. It's a pleasure to be here at APHA with so many colleagues and friends from so far away. Today I'm going to be speaking on teen quizzes and sharing what we've learned about this as a potential opportunity for a springboard for conversation between sexually active teens. Now, I wish I could say this bandage on my nose was from a springboard into a nice dive, but that's another story. I'd like to acknowledge co-authors Aaron Lone, Sophia Carrillo, and also the collaborators on this project, Kate Lavoie, who's here today, and Rebecca Lundgren, the PI on the project. I have no relationships to disclose. And as a way of background, we know that research suggests that partner involvement and communication can improve family planning use and satisfaction. Work that the Institute for Reproductive Health did in Latin America also had similar findings, and men were services that included men were seen as feasible and also increased correct use, continuation, and satisfaction with methods. The project I'm going to talk to you about today is actually a sub-study within a much larger project, which Katie Lavoie is going to speak about as our last presenter. But just to give you an idea about this project in a nutshell, it was designed to determine the effect of incorporating a partner-focused or a couple-focused perspective to family planning services, and also integrate the use of a new method or the opportunity to use a new method of family planning, the standard days method, which is used with these cycle beads. So those were the two parts of the study that Katie's going to talk about. And I'm going to focus on what we did to tailor this project for the teen population. There was a teen clinic, and I neglected to mention the organizations we were working with in California. One was the Planned Parenthood in Southern California, San Diego Planned Parenthood in Riverside Counties, and also in Fremont, California, the Tri-City Health Center. And what I'll speak to you about today in terms of materials, they were developed in Fremont with the Tri-City Health Center. And so we were looking at what approaches could we incorporate in terms of a partner-focused approach that worked for young adults, and also whether or not these educational materials that we were envisioning could actually serve as a springboard or a tool for partner communication when people went home or happened to be with their partners about good, healthy sexual health practices. The specific teen intervention included asking teens when they came into the teen clinic, and this was a separate clinic with a separate door and confidential services, how does your partner feel about family planning? Have you guys talked about birth control? Would he like some information or she like some information about family planning? And if so, then they were shared these educational materials, which I'm going to go into in more detail, including a female self-assessment quiz that was done in the waiting room or prior to talking with a counselor or a clinician. And then those who had trouble with or didn't really understand a lot about their fertility, we used these cycle beads as a tool for teaching about menstrual cycle and fertility awareness. Just to give you a sense of what we used as a framework for these education materials, some of you may have seen teen magazines, like this one's called M, and it's the number one source for posters, gossip, and quizzes. And here's, you probably can't see it from here, but it's a teen quiz with a picture of it looks like Sharpay or someone famous here on the left side. And this quiz in the magazine was who would be your perfect kiss. And so you'd answer a question here, and depending on how you answer, you go down to this arrow or over to that one, and you could find out whether your smooch soulmate was a sensitive guy like Joe, or a bold guy like Chris, or maybe a laid-back guy like Cody. And this magazine has like 5 or 6 quizzes. You can even find out what kind of Halloween costume you might want to wear depending on, you know, how you answer these questions. So Rebecca Lundgren, the principal investigator on our project, had the idea of what if we designed education materials sort of on this format, this quiz format. And we talked with the teen advisory group at Tri-City Health Center, and they helped us fashion the materials and the wording and the images. And then once we had drafts together, we did some interviews in the teen clinic with teens to get their feedback and to tailor the materials even more. They were reviewed by teen counselors, some of the male involvement staff, clinicians, and researchers on the project. And then once we designed the materials and had them printed, they were used in clinic settings with a counselor, and then also during outreach presentations that took place in the high school, like 4 or 5 sessions that the outreach workers conducted, and they were used as education materials in the classroom as well. So toward the end of this project, we conducted teen clinic exit interviews and then followed up a couple days later with a phone call. And specifically, the phone call was to find out, did you talk about these materials with your partner, or did they like end up in the trash can, or they never even left the clinic? And then we also conducted focus groups at the local high school during the second session. So the teens that got the materials in the first session, then a week later we asked them, what they thought about it and whether they used them or not. Did I go backwards? There we go. Okay, so these were the materials. We had a teen quiz, which was in a self-assessment quiz called How Important is Your Sexual Health? An educational card called Do You and Your Partner Talk About Sex? And a partner quiz, the He Said, She Says quiz, which they filled out together. Now, this is the first one. It's of this size. How important is your sexual health? And this was filled out by young teens, female teens in the clinic, while they're waiting to see the counselor or the clinician. And where he says, I don't have a pointer, but where it says start is where you would begin this quiz. And the first question is, when can a girl get pregnant? Now, if she answered only 1 or 2 days in a row, then the counselor would use this set of beads to share a little bit more information about menstrual cycle and the fact that we're not just talking about maybe one day that you could miss, but that there's a range of days in the middle of the cycle. And depending on cycle length, it can vary. But if she got it right, then she would go over to the next part and answer these questions and circle which one she thought was the right answer. And then the clinician or the counselor would use this as a tool. Actually, in the teen clinic, it was more often used by the counselor. Use it as a tool for talking with the client about the information. Another question we would have is, if your guide never talks about your relationship with you, do you wait till his next move or bring it up? So depending on how they answered this question, they would either score high or low, and the counselor would use this to build on what they knew and provide more information. On the flip side, there are pictures with the key messages and contact information. The next one was a card, and it's a 9x4 inch, about this size. One side has a picture with the key messages, and then the flip side asks questions that you could talk with your partner about, like, do we want to have a child now? Will we have sex with each other? Only with each other. How will we protect ourselves against STIs and the diseases you can get from having sex? And then there's a section for guys, what guys could do to be supportive. And then this was the third material, a He Says, She Says quiz, has a series of questions, and then she fills out her side, how she would answer the question, and how she thinks her guy would answer the question. And then he filled out the other side with his answer and how he thought she would fill it out. And then they come back together and score, and if they got a lot of them the same, then they would get a higher score, and if they didn't, they would get a lower score. Basically, we use these in the teen clinic and at the high school. And the focus groups were, and the exit interviews were designed to find out more about teen attitudes regarding talking about sex and partner involvement, the use of the materials, whether they actually did use these materials and talk with their partner about how to prevent unintended pregnancy, how to protect themselves from STIs, and how much they knew about fertility awareness. The profile for both the focus group and of the participants in the focus group and the exit interviews were fairly similar, around the same age range, although the exit interviews were also up to age 22, the participants in that. Both of the groups were very mixed in terms of their ethnicity. Most were born in the United States, but most also spoke a language other than English at home. The focus groups are facilitated by young outreach workers who had been trained in focus group methodology, and we had them audio tapes. In the exit interviews, 50% of those that we interviewed agreed to a phone follow-up. And so we talked with them a couple days later about their impressions, in particular about the materials. Moving along so I don't run out of time. What we found in terms of results was very similar from both the focus group and the exit interviews. Most girls and some guys stressed the importance of communicating with a partner about sex and sexual health. Some of the girls shared with them what they would say, like, honey, we need to talk. Or the guys, although they were more vague about the specifics of what they would say in the focus groups, wished that the girls had a sign of an STD or an STI so that they didn't actually have to talk about it, but they could get communicated that information without going there in terms of words. Fear of rejection and discomfort talking about sex were clear barriers to communication. People who were shy were thought that these topics just wouldn't come up as easily. And guys said things like, we don't want to scare the girl away. She might think we're weak. Or, I don't want to give her any ideas. She'll take it wrong. In terms of these materials, the female teens liked and discussed them with their male partners much more than the guys. The guys were less likely to say, oh, yeah, I'm going to go pick that up off the shelf. But the girls said things like, oh, it was fun. Even my mom did it. One person shared it with her grandmother, whereas most of the guys were like, But what girls would say, one particular guy in the focus group went into great detail about how he had shared it with his girlfriend, even amid all the jeering and the teasing that he got from the other guys. One girl mentioned that in terms of the guys tended to be more involved in using the materials when they were encouraged by their female partners to do so. One woman said, he thought it was cheesy, but I made him do it. Teens responded differently in terms of their preferences regarding the new materials. Some felt the quiz was much more informational. Others liked this card because you didn't have to really sit down and talk with your guy about it. You could get some ideas and share them with him. In terms of the exit interviews, we found that of the 50% of those interviewed that we reached, all but one indicated that they had shared the materials with their partner and used them and found them meaningful. One person who didn't share the materials said that she intended to do so in the future. And we found that both the teens and the counselors found these cycle beads to be an effective, a good visual aid in terms of learning about the menstrual cycle. So in summary, the teens were receptive to provider efforts to encourage communication about sex and sexual health. In fact, many teens said, we talk about this already. Teens said that it was important to talk to their partners, although they shared fears of rejection and discomfort as barriers to communication. In our group, the female teens liked and discussed the new materials more with their partners than the guys did, although male teens were more likely to use and discuss the materials if approached by their girlfriends. Teens responded differently in terms of which preferences they had. Those who were more in a committed relationship with their boyfriend tended to like the he said, she said, because they felt comfortable talking with them about these things, and that cycle beads were a useful tool for teaching about the menstrual cycle and the fertile time. In conclusion, we found that education materials can serve as a springboard for partner conversation about sex and sexual health. Strategies are needed to help move beyond just knowledge and conversation about these topics to those actual behaviors that do keep young people healthy and protected from disease as well as unintended pregnancy. And the need to tailor approaches and materials to the unique needs of teens is critical. For more information, you can visit the website for the Institute for Reproductive Health or Tri-City Health Centers. Thank you very much for your time.
Okay, is there either a clarifying or follow-up question on this specific presentation from anyone? Nope, there's going to be another presentation that's similar to this later, so then we can have a conversation that maybe compares and contrasts them. Thank you very much. Okay.